That's just a fact. We get so busy. You know, you talk to anyone, and our schedules, we're just so busy. You know, we're just so busy. And we're talking about that fact in prayer meeting this morning early, and about, you know, our schedules and why we don't serve God in a bigger way. And I said, you know what? We schedule lunch. How many schedules lunch about every day? Usually we have a breakfast we kind of schedule, dinner's kind of schedule. We just kind of schedule a bedtime, a get-up time. You know, how many's kind of got all those on your schedule? And those are good things. There's not anything wrong. But how many knows when we don't put God on the schedule, it's hard to fulfill commandment number one, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. And one of the things, as I get older, I'm enjoying is just talking and worshiping God. Tell him how glorious he is, and to God be the glory. And that's a phrase that I've been using almost daily, several times a day. Just to God be the glory. You know, I'm going to go do something. To God be the glory. I'm going to go see someone. You know, to God be the glory in this meeting. I'm going to study the scripture. To God be the glory in this scripture that I'm about to study. And we received... you know, since I've been using that phrase, we've received money from the IRS. We received $800 and something interest from the IRS. To God be the glory. This week, we opened the mailbox. There was another $1,000 check in the mail. To God be the glory. How many said, I might start using that. I might start. I don't do it for that, but I thought, wow, this stuff is pretty cool, isn't it? And this was just a little business deal that we had done. Didn't know if it would get done or not, and it did. To God be the glory. And if it works out, they'll send me another $10,000. To God be the glory. Woo! You know, and that's just the monetary thing. And that's not to mention the blessings, the peace of mind, the outlook on the day that you can have. And if you don't get anything else today, I want you to get this. Stressfulness is a choice. Just mark that down. Stressfulness is a choice. I can be stressful today if I want, or I can be stressless today. Now, you can't be completely stress-free. There's no such... Let me tell you when you'll be stress-free. When you're dead... And there's even a little and on there. And you made it to heaven. Because how many knows those that don't make it to heaven, they're going to be stressful forever, for eternity. And he's made it real easy, so you don't have to be stressful in eternity for hell forever. He just said, accept his son and his finished work and what he's done for us. And so we don't have to go to hell, but he'll let you if you want to. How many knows you don't have to be very smart to make that choice? Come on. But that's the only time we'll be stressless. There'll be no stress at all. You know, when Millie was writing down the title, I said, be sure to put stress-less, you know, because we can have less stress in our lives than what we do, I believe. And that's what I want to talk to you about today and next Sunday. Now I'll give you some things on how to, just practical ways next Sunday. But we're people that you have to show us. You have to show us what we're talking about. So I'm going to lay a little foundation today to show you that there's no such thing as being stressless. You know, and how many knows there's good stress and bad stress? Good stress and bad stress, and we'll talk about that. Everybody got your Bible and you're ready to learn? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can go where it says I can go. I can give what it says I can give. Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Stress less in a stressful world. We were in Naples, Florida, and I told some of us, it was just like a bunch of little birds, because it rained. Almost every day was there, some it would rain. One day it was all on the beach all day and it didn't rain, but it was like little birds. It'd rain, we'd just run back to the hotel. And then it quit, we'd run back to the beach. Drove the guys crazy, because out on this beach where we were, they had to put you out a little, two lawn chairs, you know, or two little chairs, and they'd put your towels out, and they'd bring you a little table out there, and they had this big old drill, and they'd drill a hole in the sand and just put you up an umbrella for $25. When you're a white boy like me, it's worth $25 not to look like a lobster. So we, you know, put, and they put you, and boy, it was nice. But then they'd pull them up, we'd all run, and then they'd come back, and they'd put them back down, you know, and for the same price. That's important when you're a preacher, you know, you don't. But anyway, we was in the hotel, it's one of the rainy times, and this lady says, here's stressful, this lady says, we're in a nice hotel. It's a nice day, other than a little shower, we're getting a shower. This is terrible weather. It's just bad weather. And I thought, I said, well, no, ma'am, this is not terrible weather. I said, I live in Oklahoma. Let me tell you what terrible weather is. When a storm comes and it blows your house off the foundation, that's terrible weather. And she said, are you really from Oklahoma? And I said, I really am, and it really does. And somebody says, what does those twisters do? I said, they go round and round real fast, you know. I mean, what do you say about a twister, you know? I don't. But isn't it amazing? See, what she meant was, God is blessing this part of the country with rain today. And I came to be blessed with the sunshine. See? But isn't it amazing what we can stress over and what we can call bad? This is a blessing. And how many knows Florida's been in a drought, so they were just, woo, you know, hallelujah. So they were grateful, and here, but there's people griping and stressed out about a rain, a shower. What do you get stressed out about that's just simple like that? It's a choice, isn't it? It's really a choice. And he told us about that in his word in Matthew, the 6th chapter. And he starts off in verse 24 when he tells us, and here's the problem. You know, when I was talking about serving God and worshiping God, here's where we get confused. We're a materialistic society, aren't we? But we love our blessings. We're not about needs at all, are we? For the most of us. And sometimes we are. But for most of us, we're about luxury, you know. We're praying over luxury. Because we got a house, it's, you know. And some of you even got a house paid for, you know. And we got cars, nice cars and all. And we got clothes. And we got plenty of food in the cupboard. It was interesting this morning. I always take my grandsons for donuts on Sunday, every other Sunday morning. And so this was our donut day, and we're sitting there, and they talk about Michael got his four-wheeler stuck, and then he thought that wasn't good enough, so he got his truck stuck yesterday down at the river. So don't go with him. Yeah, I was lucky. He called me, where you at? I said, I'm at Stratford, Oklahoma, out of town. He said, oh, man. I thought, it sucks to be him, it's good to be me. To God be the glory. Janet said, you think we should go help the boy? I said, yeah, right after the rodeo's over. We come to go up the rodeo. To God be the glory, you know. And so anyway, my grandson's one of them said, and I thought this was a keen observation. Maybe it was there's something good, Michael, that came out of it. And I know it cost you a lot of money, probably call the tow truck and all, but there's some good come out of it. I'll give it to you. One of them said they had only so many bottles of water, and then Kate said, I drank two bottles, and Brian said, I wanted two, and there wasn't any left. And then one of the grandsons said this, that must be what the little kids in Africa, in places that don't have water, suffer. I said, to God be the glory. They thought about the needs of others when they were thirsty. I said, you should have drank out of the river. And they said, oh no, there's germs in the river, Paul. You can't drink out of the river. You know, here's water running right by, and we can't drink out of it because we've polluted it. We've followed stuff, and you know, God. How many knows God didn't create all the pollution and stuff? We did. And I didn't tell them, but I've been thirsty before out hunting or fishing, and I just drink it and say, to God be the glory, you know. But it's not real smart. But I thought, you know, at least that's something they're getting. And if we can have that kind of a mindset, we'll be a lot less stressful about all of our needs are met. And isn't it amazing what we stress about? And if you're like me, you don't stress about what's happening today. I'm a leader, and so leaders don't usually stress about what's happening today. You know what leaders stress about? What's going to happen. We're always looking out there. And so maybe you're like me, if you're a leader, and you're always thinking about tomorrow, and then he says right here in the Word we're about to read, don't look out there. Don't look out there. But it's hard, isn't it? And then they come on the TV and they say, oh, the economy's terrible. We're in recession. And I see people that's doing well. But they tell us, and they repeat it every day. Gas is going, how many know gas dropped? I thank God for the oil people that had enough integrity. I told Jana before it came down, after the oil prices dropped on the stock, I said, let's see if they have any integrity and see if it comes down. It took them about a week. Automatically raised at the pump. How many knows we're not dumb enough to fall for that? That if it goes up on the stock market today, it don't affect the gas that's in the tank. I mean, we are that sharp, right? Some of you think it went up in the pump that day, and it was that. Well, how did that happen? You're a little slow, you know. You're just a little slow. But they did come down, and in my neighborhood, 7-Eleven, $3.59 a gallon. I never thought I'd look and see $3.59 a gallon. Woo, cheap gas. But they came down, and so, but some of us, you know, that's what we worry about is that future stuff, and that's why, because they put this in our mind, and we hear how bad the economy is, and all, and it doesn't matter if we got money in the bank, and we got a house payment made, and a car payment made, or whatever it is, and everything's paid in full today, and God's blessed us. We hear that, and it gets inside, and that's why it's really important to have something good in faith inside of you that says, you know what, I need something to combat all the negative I'm getting in every day from the news and from other sources. This one was killed, this one was raped, this one was another drive-by shooting, another this, another that. And so we start having drive-by prayer to combat drive-by shootings, drive-by gangs, and that's what we've been doing in our neighborhoods. To God be the glory. See? But some of you stress about gas. How many of those, that's bad stress. Nothing you can do about gas prices. And if it's something you can't do anything about and you're stressed about it, about tomorrow, looking out at tomorrow and stressing, that's bad stress because you can't change that. It's bad stress. It's not from God. It's really satanic, I believe, because it occupies our mind with fear and doubt and all the things that we shouldn't be occupying our mind. And it's not even come to pass yet. Let's look and see what God's Word says. He says this, and I started at verse 24 because this is where it starts. It doesn't start down here in verse 25, but he says, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and wealth. Next week we'll talk about your source and plug it into your source and how to get. We was walking the track this week and was talking about, Janet was talking about 401k. She does that at her work and how this worked and all this and different things. And I said, well, I got my money in the best 401k there is. And of course, she knows our finance. She looked at me and said, really? I said, yeah. I got it. I'm storing up treasure in heaven. It said there's no moth, no rust. Thieves can't break in. The recession cannot touch it. And I'm storing up in heaven. And she just grinned and we kept walking. See, that's stressless. I mean, anything you put in the market today may be gone tomorrow. If you all have got 401ks, you know, when they come in this last quarter, it didn't look too good for most of us. I hear we're supposed to make a little increase next time. But here's the thing. That's out in the future. Don't worry about tomorrow. This is mammon. This is wealth. Listen, this really ties in to what he's trying to tell us about stress. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, verse 25, I say to you, do not worry. Everybody say, do not worry. Years ago, I preached a sermon about worry. And people around here still sing this song. You ready? Don't worry. Be happy. In Jesus. Isn't that funny? They can still sing that. And this was years ago. Were you here, Kelly, when I preached that? Kelly Pendell was here when I preached that. She's long gone since went to be with the Baptists. And she was here. Way back when. Did you remember that song? Isn't that something? It's just a simple little stupid phrase. It just caught on and for weeks around here, months, you know. Don't worry, be happy in Jesus. And they just sing that song. But I thought, at least that's a good thing, isn't it? You know, they're singing about Jesus and not worrying. It says, do not worry about your life. I mean, when you worry, you usually worry about your life. There's something to be said in there. Do not worry about your life. You know whose life we ought to be worried about? Concerned about? Love your, what? Neighbor as yourself. I'm trying to practice that, you know, more than what I've practiced that in the past years. Loving my neighbors, myself. And it's really fun. My neighbors, I got some good neighbors. And just, you know, some of it, we came back and from our vacation, and I forgot to put my trash can up, and in our neighborhood, they really frown on you leaving your trash can out where you can see it. Because, you know, that's so stressful. So, but it's a thing in our neighborhood. So one of my neighbors took my can and put it back around out of sight, you know, for me. And I didn't even ask, didn't even know, but I've got to know them, and they did that for me. See, let me tell you, when we're loving other people, it's going to be a more stress-less situation we have. That's what he said. Don't worry about your life. But then he said, love your neighbor, love God, and love yourself. And it all works out to happiness and peace and joy and fulfillment. And so we wonder why we have stress. And one of the reasons is because we're not spending time with Him, and we're not spending time loving our neighbors. The first two commandments. It's simple, but we get so wrapped up in our schedule and in our life and our things, and we forget about God and our neighbors. And he said, that's the two that everything's hanging on. We're pursuing manna too much. You can't serve both. Serve God. It's kind of like the old thing he said in gifts. He said, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. You know, you don't pursue gifts, you pursue love. And when we're pursuing love, it's pursuing loving God and loving our neighbor and loving ourselves. Some of you need to start loving yourself. You don't even love yourself. You know, you're just a mess. Love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, you got to be right with yourself before you can love your neighbor and before you can look attractive to love other people. So it says, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, about your body, what you put on. It's not life more than food and the body more than clothing. And like I said, most of us are way beyond food and clothing. It's luxury items. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. The birds. He said, look at the birds. I mean, when's the last time you just stopped and looked at birds? We was on the beach at Florida, and there's little seagulls. And I get so tickled at them things. You know, no stress in them at all. Even the old ones. You can tell some of them just old. Well, find me something around here to eat. You know, just hobbling around. And they just work around us people. You know, this is like my shore, and I don't know where all you people come from, but God's here, and I got to get my daily meal. And they had to eat, then they just soar off or they just sat down on the beach. Everyone we saw sitting on the beach, yeah, said, oh, look, they're nesting. I probably said, they're not all nesting, they're resting. Right in the middle of the day, even the birds are smart enough, right in the middle of the day, if they need a rest, just sit down and rest. I saw a lady on TV this week was talking about being healthy. She said, you know what, sometimes when you're stressed out, you know what helps you more than anything in the world? Go to bed and get you about 15 hours of sleep. Donnie's the first time he's amen me in months. I got you on that one, didn't I? Anyway, he says, 15 hours? 15 hours? Every mother's just wondering, can I get 8 hours? Help me, Jesus. She said, I'm telling you, I had to train my mind to be able to sleep 15 hours because I had the same word speaking to me. You need to get up. You need to get up. There's things to do. There's things that need to be done. She said, I had to train my mind to say, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. And she said, now, on occasion, not all the time, but she said, my body needs it, my body's speaking to me, I can lay down and I can sleep for 12 to 15 hours. Did you know that's a free thing that God gave you? If you get the stress out and get the serving manna out of your mind, He should give you the ability to sleep. Just to sleep. I agree with that. You know, when you're tired and you wake up and you know, just you're tired, you wake up tired and you're tired, I think you just need to sleep. One of the greatest things I ever heard from an old pastor when I was just getting started in the ministry, and it just emblazed in my mind, I tattooed it there, and he said, you know what, pastors, he said, take care of your families, and one day a week, let the world go to hell. Boy, you could have heard a pin drop. Oh, can you say that? And all he was saying was, you know what? The church can be demanding, and the church has a great responsibility. He said, but one day a week. And that's why he wanted to drive home that point. He said, you focus on your family and don't worry about anything else. I thought, wow. Because, I mean, those families are important. For you that don't focus sometime on just your family and what you want to do and having fun with your family, there's something missing in your relationship. Because God just created us to have fellowship and fun together. Yesterday, we got on the motorcycle, went and seen Olin and Jerry, and went out and did a few little things, and I got her to ride with me. That's so much fun, you know. She's kind of coming along on the motorcycle thing, you know. And then we went to a rodeo last night, and I seen some old high school friends I hadn't seen in 37 years. And when I introduced myself, they said, no, I never thought I'd ever see you, you know. I haven't seen them in forever. I've been in that little town again, but that I just hadn't connected. And I saw two of them last night, and they got my number, and we'll... But it's so refreshing, so restful. Janet said, I feel like I'm still on vacation today. And I'm telling you, stress is a choice. See, God gave us all the same amount of hours in a day. He didn't... Aren't you glad He didn't give 150 and give you 10, you know? Sometimes don't you wish He gave you 10? I just got 10 hours and it's over, you know? But He gave us... But it's a choice. And it's not about economy. It's not about what's going on around the world. It's a choice. And that's what I want you to get out of this series. Look at the birds there, verse 26. For they neither sow, nor they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You ever see a bird out there with a little combine driving it and trying to store it for the winter? Now, the squirrels, you ever notice? The squirrels, they work, and they usually will hoard up a little. In fact, my dad, he used to raid a pack rat nest and just get like 100 pounds of pecans or something out of a nest. And I thought about that. Years later, I thought, ooh, we're eating pecans that thing had in its mouth. Ooh. But I thought, you know what? When his nest is raided by human predators, did he stress and worry? I think what he did, he just went right back to work doing what he knew to do, gathered more nuts, and probably made it through the winter. You know, when something takes away our little nest egg, we just stress and worry, and we don't even have enough sense. Just praise God and keep on going, doing what you know to do, and trust God for the rest. One of the most precious things I've heard in a long time was a young lady that called the church, left the message, said, would you pray for us? We're young Christians, and my faith just isn't that strong yet. I thought, wow, that's insightful. And it's precious in God's sight. And was wanting to pray over a deal for them. That blessed me. That blessed me. But which of you worrying, verse 27, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. This is the flowers, delicate flowers. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God did that. You know, you drive by and you see beautiful flowers, radiant colors, just growing where they are. God did that. Provided everything they need. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today it is and tomorrow is sown in the oven, will He not much more clothe you? Oh, you of what? Little faith. Little faith. Stress is connected to money and little faith. Wealth and little faith. Those are direct tie-ins to worry and stress. How do you get faith? Faith comes by
hearing.
Hearing by the Word of God. You want to get faith? That's why we need to grab hold of the Word of God, because it builds our faith. Well, it don't feel like it builds my faith. Well, stop running off feelings and just start trusting God. Yeah. Some days when you go to work, do you feel like you ought to get paid for extra? Some days when you go to work, you feel like, boy, I hope they, you know, I'm glad they don't pay me what I'm worth today. And you still get your paycheck most of the time, right? Because it's not about feelings, it is about you being there and you having faith that if I do what they said I should do, then they will pay me what they said they would pay me. You know. If you think you're worth more money, go make it. Quit stressing out and quit blaming your work and go make it. If you're really worth it, you can. If you can't, you'll know they were right. That's pretty good there, wasn't it? Because stress is what? A choice. It's a choice. Everybody say stress is a choice. Verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, for all these things. Everybody say, for all these things. How many knows what all these things mean? All these things. All these things. The Gentiles seek. Talking about serving mammon. It says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Do you know God knows that you need all these things? But, here comes the kicker. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. First. Everybody say first.
First.
See, this is where stress comes in. We don't seek God first. We don't keep God first. We keep the situation first. First. We keep the situation first, and so we stress because the situation's here, God's down here somewhere. And the situation's up here. It's in our mind. It's in the forefront of our mind. It's what we're meditating on, thinking on, worrying about, stressing about. It's up here. When God should be up here, and if the stress was down here and we're seeking God first, He said all this stuff would kind of just go away because I know what you need. God knows what you need. How many knows if He loves you enough to send His Son to the cross for you, He is madly in love with you. I would have to be madly in love with you to send one of my kids to a cross to atone for your sins. And that's what He did for you and me. He loves you. He knows where you're at. He knows what you need. And He'll take care of you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, I want to run through something, and I don't want you to turn here, but I want to run through this quickly and show you that stress is not about your situation, your circumstances. That stress is a choice. And if you want to mark the scripture down, it's 1 Kings, and it's talking about Elijah. And so I want to take you through a little quick thing on him. Let me read you something. Good stress. There's two different kind of definitions in the dictionary about good stress, and one was about bad stress. And I think stress is kind of like cholesterol. You know, they say you got good cholesterol, bad cholesterol. Stress is a lot the same way. You got good stress and bad stress. And here's what it says on one of the stresses. This is good stress. It says importance, significance, or emphasis placed on something. See, that's good stress. It's special weight placed upon something considered important. And a few of the things I've written down here. Here's good stress. Good stress, you've got a deadline to meet, and you feel the pressure, and you go ahead and meet that deadline. That's good stress. For you students, and how come you students moved off the front row? Are you backsliding? Wow. I just noticed. You notice that? All the front row. Thank you for keeping your chair up here. To God be the glory. Pick on them a little bit today. Okay, but you know, if you got finals coming and all of a sudden you feel that pressure, how many say this? I work better under pressure. I've heard some of you say, for all you that say, I work better under pressure, you know what you're saying is this. You're saying, stress helps me get what I need to get accomplished. That's good stress. productive type stress. When you're stressing under this kind of stress, there's things that's going to get accomplished, things that's going to get done for the glory of God, for the better. Okay, that's good stress. You have a busy schedule, and you mark out time for God and family and stuff, and now and the stress is there, but you're going to do it, you know, because that's what's important. You know, love God, love your neighbor, love your family. Here's a good stress. You're tired and you exercise anyway. How many has ever been tired? Now, there's a certain fatigue. If you get to a point, you don't need to exercise. You need to sleep. But sometimes there's just that old sluggish feeling. You go out and walk or work out or whatever, and you feel better. You know, that stress of saying, man, I don't feel like it, but you go ahead and do it, and it produces a healthy body, that's good stress because it produces something healthy in you. And then one last one is stress prompts you to keep your house clean or your lawn mowed. You know? And some of you need a little more stress in that area. I've been to your house, but... here's something I want you to catch. Good stress does not mean pleasant stress. Big difference, isn't there? You say, well, it's not good stress because it doesn't feel good. Well, stress is stress. It's not to be pleasant. But it accomplishes something good once you've been under this stress. It's kind of like medicine. You ever take a medicine, you think, ooh, that's good medicine. It's like, why can't they make good medicine, you know? I think they maybe because they don't want you to take too much, you know, or something. But it doesn't taste good. But you know, it's gonna most of the time it's gonna help you get better. And so you endure that little stressful taste because of the results. That's the way stress is. Good stress is. It's you know, it doesn't feel pleasant, but it's gonna accomplish something good. Now here's bad stress, and this is a continuation. If you go in your dictionary, this is a continuation of stress, and this is what most of us think about when we think about stress. A mentally or emotionally disruptive and upsetting condition occurring in response to adverse external influences and capable of affecting physical health, usually characterized by increased heart rate, a rise in blood pressure, muscular tension, irritability, and depression. To God be the glory. I mean, isn't that the gospel? That's what we think about when we think about stress, isn't it? That kind of definition. Now, what I'd like you to do is think about the first one. Remember what the first one says? Important, significance, emphasis, placed on something, a special weight upon something considered important. That weight is on there to help push you forward and to accomplish whatever it is you need to accomplish. Not all this irritability and external influences and all this stuff. We stress about the price of gas, the loss of a job, what if I can't pay my house payment, what if I flunk my finals, what if I make a mistake, what if people don't like me, you know, all these things. We can just have that blood pressure up and all this external pain and stuff, and stress causes a lot of illness and sickness. Did you know that? Stress can drive you crazy. Now, let me say this. I've lost my job before. When I was 16, I got married to Jana. Been married 37 years. And, you know, I just finished the 10th grade. And so I had I was a late bloomer on my education, all that stuff. But I got it. And so, but you know, I just madly in love with her and I married her. And so I took this job at a factory. And it was, I told them I was 18. Because you had to be 18. They said, how old are you? I said, how old are you? I've got to be to get the job. I said, 18. I said, I'm 18. I mean, I'm the breadwinner now, right? I gotta support my little wife. And so I told him I was 18. I worked there just for a little while, and somebody told him he's not really 18. Because I was dumb, and I confided in a guy. We'd just sit around talking, and boy, you look young. I said, well, I'm really 16. And he went and told the supervisor. First dose of don't trust people on the job. Welcome to the workplace. And so I lost my job. And I survived. Back when the housing industry went down, guess what? I lost a really nice home. I mean, a really nice, best home I'd ever owned at that time, and I lost it. I could have probably kept it if I'd moved out of state and set up shop somewhere else, but I didn't because this is what God wanted, and this is when God started the church. The time I was losing my home is when God started this church. That was stressful. I'm still here. Because, you know what? Life does not consist in abundance of things that you possess. Amen. Life consists in serving God, loving people, and loving yourself. Hallelujah. Guess what? I've made mistakes. I'm still here. Guess what? Some people don't like me. Can you believe that? That's amazing to me. I'm a good guy. Some people just don't like me. And that's a fact, Jack. And I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still preaching. I'm still happy. They're still dumb and stupid because they don't like me, but I'm still here. No, they're not. I'm just teasing. Now I want to show you something. I want to show you something. Here's 1 Kings 17 through 19. We won't go there, but you can look it up if you need to. Read it later on. But Elijah prays. Remember the story? Elijah the prophet, man of God, he prays. Now what I want to show you from this is stress has nothing to do with your circumstances. Has everything to do with choice. Classic example. He's here in these 1 Kings, and Elijah prayed. It wouldn't rain for 3 years, until he prayed again, and it didn't. For over 3 years, 3.5 years, it didn't rain a drop. Because of his prayer. That's powerful, isn't it? Then not only that, but he saw a miracle. Every day, God directed him down by this little brook and where there was some water. And guess what? Air mailed him in every day, lunch and dinner, every day. You know, we have drive-by windows. God has fly-by windows. This flew in his morning meal and his evening meal, twice a day, every day. And he says, now that would build my faith if the birds would just wake me up with a big Egg McMuffin every day and, you know, and then bring in steak and, you know, in the evening. That would build my faith. People ask you, where'd you get your, did you go out to eat? Nah, God sends birds with meal over every day. Every day he just sends bird by my house with a meal. Wouldn't that build your faith? My question is, where did he get that stuff? Write that down. That's one of our heaven questions when we get to heaven. Where did the birds get that meal? You know, did somebody bake that stuff and they sent them by and they said, look at that bird. It took off our... Let's do that again tomorrow. You know, I don't... Or did he come from heaven? Did that every day. This is Elijah. This is his circumstances. While everybody else is scrambling around because there's drought and there's a severe famine in the land, he's eating good every day with no effort. To me, that would build my faith. How many says if God would send a big old bird with a big gas can every day to my house, that would build my faith? Full of gas. When they ask you what you thought about gas prices, you just say, don't bother me. I got birds. They say, what? Oh, yeah. Big old birds just come and drop gallons, everything I need, gas every day right there at my doorstep. I just go out there and pour it in. I'm praying he'll give a bird to pour it in the car for me so I don't have to... That'd be what some of us would do. That's how lazy we are, you know. The brook dries up. God says to Elijah, I'm going to send you to Zarephath. There's a widow there, and she's going to take care of you. Now, how many says if God had given you directions to go to a little village, and you say there's a widow woman, then she's going to take care of all your needs? How many would picture in your mind a mental picture that says, this must be a little rich widow woman that's just got a nice room for me, and God's going to provide everything I need for this little rich widow woman? How many would think that probably before you went? I would. I would at least think she's got means. But remember when he got there and he saw her and God said, this is the one. Remember what she said? He said, would you give me a drink? And she's going to get him a drink and she's old and she's poor and she's cranky. And I thought, how did he know that's the one? Because God said, I've instructed a widow to take care of you there. And so she says to him, she looked at him and she says, he says, would you bake me a little cake as well? And she says, sir, I don't have any, all I have is a little bit of meal. I'm going to build a little bitty fire and cook a little bitty cake on my little bitty fire. We're going to die in a little bitty while. She had a little bitty mindset. That's what some of us have when they say, oh, there's a recession going on. And that's why we stress, because we got a little bitty mindset. Instead of we're looking at the Heavenly Father, we're looking at a little bit of what we have. You better listen to me. Because this is how you get stressed less. This is how you become stressed less. Don't look at the little you have. Look at the resourceful God that you serve and serve Him and put your affections and attention on Him first, which is loving God and loving people, and putting, you know, quit loving ourselves so much and watch God provide in the name of Jesus. And so you know the story. Anyway, he convinced her that if you'll do this, you know, it's going to be okay. And so she goes and she gets a little bit of meal, makes him a little cake. And for months, every morning, she'd go and dip again. And dip again. And it went dry. Never went dry. Guess what else he did in Kings? He raised a dead child to life. Whoo! I don't know about you, but that would build my faith. I walked in and there's family crying and I said, let me see the kid. And I prayed for him and he rose to life. That would build my faith. You'd think. But it doesn't say raising the dead builds your faith, does it? It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. This will build your faith more than raising dead people and more than God sustaining your cupboard. This will build your faith more than birds bringing you dinner and lunch. Because God said it would. Are you with me? And so, if that's not enough, when the time comes and God's going to break the drought, He sends him to Mount Carmel and he goes and he says, call the false prophets in. There's 850. And then he challenges 450 prophets of Baal and brings them up on Mount Carmel. He says, let's make a sacrifice and put it right here and we'll cut it in half and lay it on the altar. And the God that answers by fire, this is the God that we'll serve. I mean, he's strutting up there. Call them all, 450-1. Does he seem stressed to you? He pokes fun of the guys. They're screaming and crying and jumping on the altars and breaking down their altars. Guess what else they do? Listen to this, young people. They're cutting themselves. You know all the kids that cut themselves? You know, that's the old lie of Satan. That's nothing new. They're calling on their gods, and that's what kids that cut themselves are doing. They're calling on gods, gods of fashion. I don't look right, and gods of acceptability. They want to accept me as I am. And they're calling on all these gods, and that's why they're still cutting their little veins today, is because Satan's still using that stinking lie. It's nothing new. These are old tricks that Satan has used for centuries. And so here they are, they're cutting themselves and blood's gushing out and they're calling on their false gods and nothing happens. And all of a sudden he says, okay, build the altars back. And they built them back and then he put a ring of dirt around. He says, now fill that up with water. And they poured it full, level of water. He said, I just want you to know, without a doubt, this is going to be God. It's going to be cool. And he prays a prayer, 63-word prayer, and he calls on God. And the Bible said, boom, lightning comes from heaven and laps up all the water, all the sacrifices, the bulls and everything. And they all fall down on their faces. Oh, the God that he serves is God. Now, wouldn't that just kind of have to build your faith a little, you think? And then he looked at the false prophets and said, kill every one of them. Kill them all. They killed all the prophets. Now, here's living proof that circumstances and situations, no matter how good and big and dramatic they are that's going on in your life, will never keep you from being stressful. Either that day or the next day or somewhere. Because circumstance, it's not about circumstance, it's about what you think. It's a choice. Being stressful is a choice. If you learn that, it'll transform your life. Let me read you, this is the only part I'm going to read from that story, but in 1 Kings 19... This is the Living Bible, by the way, and I just like the way it said it. And 19:1 says, Ahab told Queen Jezebel. Jezebel, by the way, had all these false prophets on her payroll. They belonged to her. And so Jezebel's the queen. She's a wicked queen. Remember, she had Naboth killed. Naboth had a little piece of property that he loved. And I thought about Naboth. I thought he was such a good man because you know what, Naboth? He had a little piece of ground and the king offered him whatever piece of ground he ever wanted anywhere or whatever price he wanted. And you know what he said? No, this is what God has given me. Right. Contentment with godliness is what? Great gain. I'll tell you, you want to see somebody's blessed? If it's some of you and you're so content with your piece of ground, your house, your car, your whatever you have, and you say, well, I will be when I get this one. You're missing the whole point. Be happy with this one where you are. I told him the other night, I said, you know what, when Jan and I lived in our first house was like 800 or 900 square feet. We were just tickle pink in our 8 or 9. And then we had two kids, and so we need a little bigger place. And then we got one about 1,200 square feet. And we were just happy there. Oh, it's a nice home, isn't it? Because we had us and our kids, and God was providing. And then we moved into the rock house, a bigger house, and then we lost that. But you know what? We've been happy where we're at. We're happy in the country when we were in the country. People thought because we left the country and we're so happy out there, we're going to be miserable when we move back to town. Guess what? We're happy in town. It's because happiness is not about your geographical location. Happiness is in here, and it's in here. It's not about wealth. It's not about mammon. It's about serving God. And being happy where you are. Naboth says, this property is not for sale. God gave me this. Isn't it wonderful? And so Jezebel had him killed on false charges and took his land, confiscated his land, and gave it to the king. That's who Jezebel is. That's the mindset that he's coming up against. And so it says, and Ahab told Queen Jezebel what Elijah had done. He'd killed the 450 prophets, that he had slaughtered the prophets of Baal. She sent this message to Elijah. This is a guy that's raising the dead. This is a guy that's, the birds are feeding him. This is a guy that's calling fire down from heaven. This is a guy that's praying and there's no rain. And one woman is going to intimidate him? You wouldn't think so. But listen to this. You killed my prophets, and now I swear by the gods. He just showed their gods are nothing. But I swear by the gods that I'm going to kill you by this time tomorrow night. So Elijah fled for his life. What happened? Did he change gods? What happened to this man that was walking around calling fire down from heaven and shutting up the heaven from rain and raising dead? What happened to him? He changed his focus, didn't he? He changed his focus. He began to choose to focus on Jezebel instead of Jesus or God. I'm telling you, it makes a huge difference. Doesn't matter what you did last week for Jesus and how powerful you were and you prayed and somebody got healed. All that stuff doesn't matter. We're living in today. Now, watch what he did. He went to Beersheba, a city from Judah. And guess what he did in Judah? He left his servant there. Here's what I know about when stress attacks you and me. We want to get isolated. Most of the time when we're stressed out, we want to just get off by ourselves and be alone. That's a bad place to be when you're all stressed out. Run to your friends when you're stressed. And humble yourself and say, pray. Listen, you want an example? When Jesus was going to the garden and he was going to the cross and the Bible said he was in earnest agony. He prayed and he told his disciples, you need to come. I'm stressed. These are paraphrasing, but these are terms we understand. I'm stressed and on what's happening and what I got to do. And so he got Peter, James, and John. He didn't isolate himself. He took the three that he kept in his inner circle and took him to an isolated place to pray with them. They weren't much help. They fell asleep 3 or 4 times, but at least he didn't isolate himself. Don't isolate yourself when you're stressed. I know it feels like you need to and you want to, but you need prayer from people that you respect and love. That's why I appreciate people calling for prayer. I'd be ashamed to ask for prayer. And if he can get you alone and get you isolated, this is what happens. It says, then he went alone into the wilderness, traveling all day, and sat down under a broom brush and down by a little tree and prayed that he might die. Does this sound like the same guy? He said this. He said, I've had enough, he told the Lord. Take away my life. I've got to die sometimes. It might as well be now. Wow. Wow. What a difference a day makes, huh? Because it's not in your situation and circumstances. It's not what's going on around you. It's a choice. It's here and it's here. And if you learn that, you'll be stressed less. You'll get to stress a whole lot less. And you'll trust God more. I don't believe stress is a sin, you know. I mean, now when we get to the place where we doubt God and everything He's going to do, it becomes sin, but I don't think stress is a sin. I think stress is something God uses. He gave to us. Other examples, very quickly, Moses. Remember when Moses And it was good stress. It wasn't pleasant stress. But remember when he called Moses to go to Egypt? Moses killed an Egyptian, and he's headed off to the wilderness because he's ran out of town. But he had a burden before he left town to see all of Israel free. And so he prays and he prays and he prays and he prays and he prays. And God said, I've heard your prayer. Go. And he prayed some more and said, not me, not me, not me, not me. Some of you are that way, you know. You prayed for something, prayed for something. God said, okay, I'm going to do that through you. No, pray somebody else, somebody else, somebody else. And so that's good stress. It prompted him to go, and we all love the story, but what if he hadn't went? It was good stress. He was caught up in the what is. What if they don't believe me? And what if the king won't let him go? And his future, because he's a leader, he's looking out to the future. And then Jonah. Remember Jonah? God says, go to Nineveh. I want you to preach the word of God. And here's a great evangelist, and he's stressing because he's got a preaching assignment. What's he stressed about? He said, if I go and if they repent, I know you. You'll forgive them. And I don't like them. I don't like those people. That's what he said. What would the conference do with an evangelist like that? We'd like for you, Pastor Jack, to go to Nicaragua. I don't think so. How come? I don't like Nicaraguans. What would they do with that, you know? And that's basically what he said. I don't like those people. And then he was stressed about it, and so he ran off, and God, you know, here, talking about stress, he was so stressed when he got on the boat. Remember, it was crashing, it was about to break up, and they had to go down and wake him up. I mean, stress will drain you, won't it? He's wore out. He's about to be killed, and he don't even know it. He's so stressed out, so tired, he finally lays his head down and just, you know. And that's proof that sleep will help stress. And then he did go to Nineveh finally, reluctantly, and he's still stressed about it. And God still produced good stuff through him. And they did repent, and it stressed him out some more. These are godly men. I'm just telling you, it's not about your circumstances. It's a choice. All I'm saying, it's a choice. Because you think, well, if God's doing all this and great revival, how could... Well, it's a choice. It's just a choice. How about Martha and Mary? Martha, Martha, Martha. It's her house. Jesus comes for a visit. And all of a sudden, she's got to prepare this big dinner. Young Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha's just like some of you ladies. If you had a big dinner at your house and all the women were sitting in there listening to the guys talk and you were in there in the kitchen by yourself, what would you be thinking? They're having such a good time in there while I cook. To God be the glory. Yeah, you got to grow to get there, don't you, ladies? Yeah. Well, she wasn't there either. And so she comes in and she says to Jesus, she says, you know what? Sir, does it seem fair or unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. The Lord said to her, Martha, dear friend, you are so upset over all these details. All you detail people, chill out. If it gets done and all the details weren't just like you liked, it's okay. It'll still get done. And if it don't get done when Jesus comes, then he won't, you know, it's not going to matter. And you can't help it if you're a detail person, but you can help from not stressing about it. You don't have to stress about it. You know, still, you'd be concerned about details. That's just who you are. Give me the details. I need to know the details. And then when we ask you what you're doing, you give us all the details that we really don't even care about hearing. But you're going to give to us anyway because that's who you are. But you don't have to stress about the details, is all I'm saying. Do it the best you can. Leave the rest in God's hand or you'll become a Martha. That's just the way it works. And it works everywhere. You know, Marthas are in the church. You work around here and you'll be feeling like, well, I have to do everything. They just dump on me around here. Hey, man, that's good. I like it anyway. We do. We just, you know, I'm the only one, you know, and I just have to do. Every year we have family gatherings, I'm the only one want me to do, and you're just stressing and worrying. This year, just try to do, you know, when you go to a family together and go to something we're always dumping on you, just go in and do what you feel good about doing and stop. Well, if I don't do it, it won't get done. So, are you going to die? Will the sky fall? What will happen if it don't get done? God loves a cheerful giver. I never read where He loves a disgruntled, stressful giver. So just give cheerfully where you can, and are you becoming Martha? I heard a story this morning coming in and about a guy that he was a plumber and said he woke up and his truck had a flat, and so he had to work with that, and finally he went to gather his tools, his drill wouldn't work, it had died on him, and then he got in his old truck and it wouldn't start. Just a terrible day, and he finally got it going, got to work, and he invited this guy to dinner with him, and when he come home, he said he noticed the guy, and he went over to a tree and just took both hands and laid it on the tree, and went in the house and said, and it's just a solemn ride to his house, but said, boy, as soon as he got in that house, he just changed, and how are you doing, honey, and how's the kids, and here's our guest tonight, and said, just different person, said, just changed. And said when he had a lovely evening and said he's just such a pleasant guy and such a change in his demeanor, and said they, as they left, he's taking the guy home, he said, you know, my curiosity, I just got to ask you. He said, when we came in, you just waved your hand. And he said, I saw a big change. He said, what is that? He said, I call that my worry tree. He said, and I learned that, you know what? God gave me this family to love and not to bring all my troubles into. And said, so I just go by and I lay my hands on that tree and I hang all my worries on that tree before I go in the house. And he said, I really leave them there. And he said, then the next morning when I come out, he said, I go back over and I'll lay my hands on it and pick them all up. He said, but you know, I noticed something different. He said, almost every morning when I go out to pick them up, there's not near as many there as I left. Let me tell you, God gave you a worry tree. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Now, here's what you can do. You can take them and carry them if you want to. It's a choice. Or, you can seek God and His kingdom first, and His righteousness, and cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. It's your choice. You say, well, that's too simple. Well, I'll give you some formulas to follow next week. How's that for all you people that need something tangible? We'll talk about that. How to rate your stress and stuff. And so I'll give you some tangible stuff. But I want to lay this foundation today because it's needful to let you know that it is a choice. Elijah had a good day, or a lot of good days, and then he had one bad day with one bad report, and he chose to get stressed. Just like that. It's a choice. It's not about situations and circumstances. Did he die? Not by the hand of Jezebel, he didn't. How many knows you belong to God? You're His property if you've accepted Him as Savior and Lord. And Satan cannot do anything to you unless God gives him permission, or at least allows him to. Remember when Job was in trouble? He said, you can touch everything he owns, but you can't touch him. Then later on, he lifted a hedge from around Job and said, you can touch his body, but you cannot take his life. Satan cannot do anything that God does not allow him to do. And if God allows him to do something, we've got to trust Him and walk in His provisions. Paul said, you want to put something on me and a thorn in my flesh? He said, I'll just glory of God and His strength will become in my weakness. Huh? It just, when I'm weak, that's where strength's going to shine. It's a choice. All God's children got problems. I don't know what yours is, but God knows, and He's willing to help you, but it won't help any. Don't worry about it. It won't help one thing, He said, but here's what will. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Take it to God, cast it all on Him, and choose not to worry. Say, I'm walking by faith today. I don't know what's going to happen, but I serve the One that knows my tomorrows. He knew my yesterdays, He knows my present, and He knows my tomorrows, and I trust Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that as we look in the Word of God, that Satan is just You know, it's the same old tricks for same old centuries. But what's exciting is to see the same loving and righteous and holy God still providing. From the time of Elijah and Moses to present. Providing all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's your promise to us. As Brother Paul said, we know all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those that are called according to His purpose. It just means they're seeking Him first. They're working the purpose. Working the purpose, seeking Him first. He said, I know, for those people, all things work together. So help us, God, to be more concerned about your purpose for our day. About touching someone else today with the gospel, about encouraging someone else, about giving a smile away today so it can come back and appear on our face later. Because we're sowing and we're reaping. Today, God, I pray that you'll give us the discernment and the intelligence to know that, and get this in our heart and our spirit, that stress is a choice. It's a choice. It's not about when God is blessing and all is abundant. It's not about when everything looks gloomy. It's about a choice to say we serve the same God. We're still the children of God. Our salvation is not affected. And today I'm on my way to heaven. And today this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will. It's not I could or I might, but I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because that's my part in serving God and seeking His kingdom first. Help us to choose to put on the joy of the Lord and the peace that passes understanding. It's a choice. And so help us to choose to stress less. Help us to embrace the good stress that prompts us to do good things and to do your will and to go the extra mile. Help us to look at it and accept it as a tool from heaven that will help us to accomplish your will. I pray for those that have been stressed this week with troubles and trials and situations in their lives. I pray blessing over them. I speak blessing in life over them. I speak favor upon them.